Hello, I am Davis Makiala. When I'm not fighting for gay rights in my country, Nigeria, I like to listen to the Feast of Fools podcast, home of sexy divas. Walk it!
Podcast about Africa. Its name was The Feast of Fools, and it was a gay fun show. What is it like to live in a part of the world where you can be sent to prison, tortured, and killed for just being gay? Believe it or not, it doesn't stop people from living out their lives and fighting for change.
Our guest today is the Mac Daddy of gay activism in Nigeria, Davis Makiala. Davis is touring the U.S. to raise awareness about the lack of GLBT rights in Nigeria and why this is a problem that affects everyone.
Listen as we talk about growing up gay in Africa,
why conservative Americans are funding anti-gay measures in Nigeria,
and what you can do to help our brothers and sisters overseas.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And I'm Fausto Fernos. And this music is Don Juan Dracula. The song is Take Me Home from their album Young Debutantes 2, available on our website, feastoffools.net.
Stay tuned.
This might be just the most important podcast interview I have ever done, Mark Fillion.
Why is that, Fausto?
Well, because I think for our humanitarian aspects of this program, we always trying to reach people on a global level because the podcast is a global communication medium.
Mm-hmm. You can access it throughout the world.
Yeah. And so for me, it's been, I've always wondered, what is it like to be gay in parts of the world where you can get imprisoned for just talking to a gay person, for just your very existence is a threat to your life.
Because the gay experience is kind of universal in some ways, but it's very unique.
Because everybody on needs
which
cock.
Yes, everybody needs cock.
If there's we had Ronnie say one time, if there's not a hard cock within a 5 mile radius, nobody's happy.
And, so very true.
And today we're really proud to invite to our show and to our home Davis Makiala, founder of the Changing Attitude Nigeria, the country's only gay rights organization. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And we're also joined here by Andy Thayer of the Gay Liberation Network.
Thanks.
Which is always nice to see your
local
face.
Guys.
So we're here to talk about what the status of gay rights in Nigeria and in West Africa is like. Davis, what is it like right now to be gay in your country?
Thank you. It's very dangerous to be gay in Nigeria or generally in West Africa. Before now, we have the sodomy law, which will, if you are found guilty as an homosexual, will send you to prison for 14 years.
14 years.
14 years,
And
yes.
How do they prove that you're guilty for being gay? Do they actually, like, break into your house while you're having gay sex?
Or? Yes, in fact, that is the reason why they have tried to introduce this new bill as a sort of to get hold of us, because it's not easy for you to... Gay people don't have sex on the street. They are decent people. And so they
don't... I know some gay people that have sex on the street.
Yeah, we don't... not definitely in Nigeria. You don't have such rights or freedom to have such public... to have sex in the Republic. So that 14 years colonial law is not making progress. And so they think of the best way to silence us is to introduce this new bill that we are talking about.
Because this proposed bill will be 5 years in prison for anyone who undergoes or performs or witnesses, aids, or abets a same-sex marriage?
So is well, this that, was, that failed, actually, right?
Yes.
It was proposed in February of this year.
It was proposed on February last year, 2006. Yes. Okay.
Well, see, that's Wikipedia for you. I was the
truth. Wikipedia knows.
Yes. That bill actually... the Archbishop of Nigeria, the Anglican Archbishop of Nigeria.
Who's, what's his name?
Peter Akinola.
Peter Akinola.
Yes. Okay. Because Changing Attitude Nigeria has started, and then we are getting recognition internationally, he collaborated with top Anglicans that are government officials to introduce that bill. The president, actually, the outgoing president, Olusegun Obasanjo, actually sponsored that bill. But... we fought, and with the help of our brothers and sisters and international pressures from NGOs, human rights organizations, that bill was defeated. We would not be surprised if they will reintroduce it again, because the new government that have come in has an Anglican. The new vice president of Nigeria is actually an Anglican. And so we will not be surprised if the Archbishop will seek his favor one way or the other to reintroduce the bill.
So let me just kind of slow down here for a second. So to get a better picture, your current bishop, Peter Akinola, he's trying to use gay people as a scapegoat.
That's definitely correct. What he's doing.
Okay. I think it's also important to note that this bill that Davis is talking about not only was against equal marriage rights, they sort of treated it like a Christmas tree, and they started adding on additional things. Things like banning the right of gay people to form organizations, banning the right of gay people to demonstrate for their rights. So this was not just against freedom association in terms of who you get to get married to. It's also every single basic right to assemble, period.
Well, it seems like that's an American export. the banning of gay marriage. I mean, because in a country where just your very existence as a gay person is a threat, banning gay marriage seems kind of like overkill, and seems like a copycat of the United States, don't you think, Davis?
Well, we know that the Archbishop is totally working in collaboration with some right-wing American conservatives. And so...
President Bush is, or like... the American Family Association is in contact with this.
It may be possible, but we have Martin Means, who is... Akinola has consecrated the bishop. He's in Virginia. And then if you know what is going on within the Episcopal Church, you will not be surprised that
this is the Anglican Church of Nigeria or of Africa, or is it the same Anglican Church of England? What's the relationship between these? Because the English Anglicans, they allow homosexuality, don't they?
Well, yes. Everywhere, all over the world, there are gay and lesbian people. Mm-hmm. The Archbishop of Nigeria, because he wants to achieve his political aims, step on the issue of human sexuality and then make it as if it's something that is on Africa. No, homosexuality has been existing in Africa even before the advent of the missionary. And for we, Changing Attitude, it's very special for us because there is a listening process that is going on in the Anglican community. And the Archbishop of Nigeria has said that there are no gay and lesbian members in the Anglican Church of Nigeria. And so when we came out, it was a big challenge to him. And then he could not challenge us because he's avoiding the listening process. That is why he really wants to lobby that this bill should be passed, so that he will pass a report and say it is illegal, homosexuality is illegal in Nigeria, so there is nothing I can do. So,
what is the relationship between the Anglican Church of Nigeria and the Anglican Church of England?
The Canterbury, the Archbishop of Canterbury is the head of the Worldwide Anglican Communion. And then Nigeria is a province in the Anglican Communion, just as we have the province of America, where you have the Episcopal Church and all that. I think we have about 39 archbishops generally in the Worldwide Anglican Communion, and Akinola is just one of them.
Well, I think it's important to note that also Akinola has been alleging that homosexuality is some kind of European import, when actually it's the anti-gay laws that are colonial. These are bringing
gay marriage. It's like you can't even have a gay bar. It's like, yeah, how are you going to meet somebody and get married?
But the anti-gay law was introduced by the British when they took over what is now Nigeria, and all the anti-gay attitudes. Mm-hmm. There's any number of...
And that's very typical among our former colonial states. I think it's the same as India, as though like homosexuality was brought in by the British or something, when it was just,
That matter, you're going to talk about European imports. What do you think the Anglican Church itself is?
Exactly.
That's totally
Jamaica
untrue.
Jamaica does the same argument, I believe.
Yes, I want to say something there, that in the South where I come from, to tell you that homosexuality is not a Western thing, just because they are playing politics with it. In the South where I come from,
Nigeria?
Yes, I am from River State in the Niger Delta region.
Okay.
And there is a name for same-sex relationship. If a man is having an affair with a man, or a woman having an affair with a man, it is called soupe.
Soupe.
Yes.
Soupe.
Yes. Now,
with an accent on the E.
Yeah. Now, in the West, yes, where Archbishop Akinola himself come from, they have a name for same-sex relationship, which is called Bowo.
Wait. Slow down for me. Bowo.
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 Yes.
So if you're visiting Lagos, this is what to ask for.
Yes. Now these are,
because this is the thing. It's like, if you're in any major urban city in the entire world and you want to find where the gay people are, you get into a taxi cab. This is what my mother said, and you clarify me if I'm wrong. And I say, I want to find out where the Bowos are in Nigeria.
If you ask such questions, Nigeria is large with different tribes. If you are in Lagos and you ask such questions, even if people know, they will not direct you, because they will be afraid.
It's me?
So that's still another name.
I don't look like a government
spy. The name
spy.
Is not complete. Like in the north, where you have the Muslims, they also have a name for it. Men having affairs with men, or women having affairs with women, generally in the north, in the Hausa, is called Dandaudu.
Dandaudu.
Yes. And so these names are African names. The white people did not give this name. And so I'm surprised when even church leaders, religious leaders, could publicly tell lies that homosexuality is unknown to Africa.
And what's wrong with importing good things from other countries?
you're
always bringing, it's like, you know, enough abuse from Western nations. It's like, import some of the good things.
Yeah, but
like gay liberation and the concept.
But people throughout the world have gay sex. It's not a European idea.
Never.
Well, even if it was something that was important, it's something worth exporting to
At least I have.
I've exported my cock to a couple of different countries.
It's not a European thing, because I have never had a sex or with a white man or had a white boyfriend.
Yet.
Not yet.
Yes. So,
Now, Davis, do you have a boyfriend or had a boyfriend back home?
Well, I will tell you, I'm single. That's why I'm searching.
Oh. Well, so because you were telling me before we take the show that they were saying, like, now be careful. Make sure not to let yourself lost in a man.
Well, uh-huh.
How hard is it for the average, like, gay Nigerian to live with a man? Is that happening?
When two people live together.
Of the same sex.
Yes. It's not in use in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Only when they are known, and then it draws attention, and then it will expose them to danger, you know. But normally in Nigeria, two people of the same sex can live together. Nobody knows what is going on
in their
house.
Well, they could just be two bachelors trying to save money.
Of course it happens. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and
it's a common thing.
Money by sharing the same bed, sharing the same shower.
It's never a problem for two people of the same sex to live together in Nigeria. Okay. It's never a news, yes.
But if you speak out the way that Davis has, I mean, he's received numerous death threats and been forced to leave the country as a result of that.
How many people are in prison currently in Nigeria because of being gay? Do you guys have an idea of how many people might be?
Well, I will say, to the best of my knowledge, the last time I had news about people, I know that about 6 or 7 that I can remember have been in jail just because they are being gay or being lesbians. But the worst is the public attack, where people could be mobbed without anyone taking responsibility.
Usually it's the mobs that kind of attack people and sort of lynch them?
Of course, yes. the Archbishop always put gay people on the news mm-hmm. and preach against it, that it's sinful, that it should be, homosexuality is something that needs to be wiped out. And mm-hmm. so people in different ways tend to wipe mm-hmm. out homosexuality,
right.
you know, by killing them, by attacking them in different ways. As soon as that bill was introduced, even when it has not been passed, people started implementing. Nigerian military school dismissed 15 boys because they were suspected to be homosexuals. And nothing happened because mm-hmm. they don't have anywhere to go and fight for their right. About 5 girls were raped in Port Harcourt because they were suspected to be lesbians. And so these people think they, by having sex rape them, they want to heal out the spirit of lesbianism in them. And nothing happened. You know, these are the kind of things that gays and lesbians face in Nigeria. Once you are known, you become an object of attack, mm-hmm. you know. And Nigerians tend to be so religious, so that people listen to what the bishops or the priests are saying. And when people say this thing is wrong, the Bible says it's wrong, mm-hmm. it needs to be wiped out. People, mm-hmm. even those who do not go to church, but listens to the message on the radio or in the TV, take more actions than even those who go to church.
So let's examine what gay rights is in other countries in Africa. And since you're sort of talking about the way that people pay a lot of attention, give a lot of currency to their religious leaders, are any religious leaders, I think Desmond Tutu is certainly very pro-gay rights. Are they trying to exert any influence over the Anglican Church in Nigeria?
What Desmond Tutu is a big role model that everybody look onto. Mm-hmm. And even some of the Nigerian bishops make reference to him, but they do not get close to total equality for everybody.
Well, why don't they, like, what's wrong with asking Tutu to coming over and saying, you know, help us fight for our rights, you know? It's like,
yeah,
we're all children of God.
Definitely, we changing attitude. Nigeria has a plan. It's on. We are on the process to bring Tutu to Nigeria. You know, I mean, he's a strong voice. He's a strong international presence. And then we will work with him. We have a plan going on, you know, and sit with some other activists that fights for human rights.
Well, there's also the 2008 big international conclave. Why don't you say a few things about that? Because I know that,
that
gay rights activists around the world, that's something that should keep their eye on that's happening in 2008.
Yes, in 2008, first we met in 2005 in Abuja, where over 1,000 LGBT Anglicans gathered for a general meeting. And now we are trying to seek some fund to host 2,000 LGBT people in Nigeria in 2008, shortly before the Lambeth Conference, where all the worldwide Anglican bishops will gather in Canterbury.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I guess, what are you expecting to achieve from that?
Well,
and, you know, gay liberation seems to sometimes like this insurmountable goal. What's like a small goal that is trying to be achieved?
One of the goals that we will achieve when we come together is mm-hmm. The first time we met in Nigeria, the Archbishop Akinola denied us that such a meeting never take place. But we were lucky to have a reporter from the New York Times who was there to cover the meeting. And so this time we want to bring enough international presence to know that these people are in Nigeria, these people do exist, and the church and the government are just trying to silence them.
I wonder why at this point in your country's history is this sort of this development taking place. Is it something because of the fact that American conservative organizations are trying to export their homophobia overseas, and now that people like you are feeling like you have to organize against these kind of forces?
Definitely, or? That is the truth, mm-hmm. because Archbishop Akinola's strongest funding is coming from America. I think we know that by following the money. Mm-hmm. If you go online and log on to Following the Money, you will see where...
log on to what?
Online.
Follow the Money?
Yes, Follow the Money. And True Thinking Anglicans, if you Google it, you will see it. You will follow the debate. And you will know that all this has to do with more political than faith. Mm-hmm. So it's we know that most of our problem is being funded by the American right wings.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to know that Nigeria has been in a severe economic crisis. I mean, literally half the population lives on less than a dollar a day. In the recent election, the national election they had there, 200 people were killed. And I think when you've got serious problems like this, there's a real temptation of rulers, whatever country they're mm-hmm. in, to try and divert attention by calling out, oh, those people are their problems, those mm-hmm. gay people or those gypsies or whomever. Mm-hmm. And we see this right around the world. And unfortunately,
we see it here in our country, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got that combined with Nigeria sitting on all of this oil wealth. Nigeria is something like the second or third leading exporter to the United States in terms of its oil. And yet most Nigerians are not sharing in that oil wealth. And so divert attention from the fact that some people are getting very, very rich off of the oil wealth and blame the gays.
So they're sort of sucking the resources out of the country.
It gets deeper and deeper and deeper,
doesn't
it?
Shell Oil, Mobil, and so forth are thick as thieves in all this, too.
Yes. And you find the Archbishop not really talking about the serious corruption, mm-hmm. Insecurity that is going on in Nigeria, and spends all his energy talking about homosexuality, talking about America, while there are too many problems that he needs to speak out in Nigeria against. First, you can imagine I'm sitting here with you live, but when he started the smear campaign against me, he said, Davis Makiala do not exist. And this mm-hmm. is Davis Makiala sitting right here with you.
Well, they're saying that you don't even exist as a person?
Yes, as you know.
We just need a better MySpace profile. That's all you got to do.
And that's what they do, because they collude with the government. They think that they have the power to shut us down. They give impression to people that gay people are bad, gay people are evil, gay people cannot hold irresponsible posts and things like that. And I really don't have anything against me. When they know that they have nothing against me, they will come up with all these sort of stories so that Nigerians could read and say, oh, yes, he's doing all these things because he's gay. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all the strategies that they are using just to give gay people a bad name.
Davis, what does your family think about all this?
As I said, my family have known that I am gay for quite a long time.
Since you were a baby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now they are under pressure because I am now in the public, and so people could make jest of them and say, oh, the brother of a gay man, the brother of and so mm-hmm. now the pressure is also on them, you know.
What how are they reacting to that pressure?
Well, they need to, as I said to my mother and my brothers, that they need to live with the pressure, because there is no amount of pressure threat that will make me stop what I'm doing or that will make me go back, since I can never stop being gay. Yeah. And so they need to go on with their life and ignore whatever people are saying if they want to survive. For me, I'll keep being in the public, I'll keep telling my story, and I'll keep being myself.
But I'm trying to understand, like, so is someone in your family, like, in risk of losing their job, or is your home being, like, you know, are they throwing eggs at your home? Well, probably not eggs, because if they're living on a dollar a day, they're probably throwing rocks or something. Not going to waste food or anything. But,
well, they cannot refuse them employment because they have a gay brother or a gay son in the family. But the intimidation that they face is worse than losing their job, you know.
So, like, how are people intimidating them?
Yeah, you know.
Like, do they go to a bar and people, like, throw beers in it?
In the public gatherings or even in the office, when my name appear in the newspaper, and the last time one of my brother was saying, I can't even sit in the office and work because my colleague will say, isn't this man insane? Why, even if he's gay, why doesn't he just keep quiet and go on with his gay life? Why come out? And, you know, and then they know that he is my brother, and then they will try to sort of make jest of. I mean, can't you control your brother? Can't you, you know?
Well, I think a lot of straight people don't realize is that when we're fighting for gay rights, we're really fighting for their rights too, to not be nagged at by having marriage and kids and living. We're fighting for the rights for individuals to live the lives that they choose to want to live and to follow their hearts wherever it may take them. And so when you're fighting for gay rights, you're fighting for straight people's rights too.
Of course, true.
And, you know, I want to thank you so much for your courage, but are there times that you just feel like, what am I doing? It's like, do you ever have any hesitation? I mean, any kind of fear in you?
Of course, I'm human. Nobody will receive a death threat and will never fear. Nobody will receive a phone call and say, listen, if you don't stop, we know you, you don't know us. We see you, you don't see us. We are going to beat you with acid if you don't stop doing what you are doing. It must touch me. I'm human. And so sometimes I feel my life is in great danger, but then I also have the will to move on, and so I carry on.
You're going to go back to Nigeria after this 20-city tour?
I plan to, yes.
And are you worried what they're going to put you in prison when you get back home?
Sure, definitely. If they put me in prison, that will be better, because people all over the world will cry for my release, and so that will be another story. But where they will attack me unknowingly and kill me is the worst danger that I fear.
What is the worst thing that can happen to you?
That I could be killed without anyone coming to take responsibility for
nobody knowing about it.
And that's part of the point of this whole nationwide tour, as well as him protesting around the world, is that the prominence offers some level of protection. People know what Bishop Akinola has been about. He's been about abusing Davis and his organization. It's up to gay rights activists right around the world to say, hey, this has got to stop. This is one thing that people here in the United States can do, is to say that we've got to stand up against this kind of hate. There is pressure that's been done internationally that stopped this recent bill. That same kind of pressure can be brought to bear in terms of stopping threats against Davis. Recently in Poland, we saw that several years worth of demonstrating, not only by Poles themselves, but also European agencies putting pressure on the Polish government, led to the first legal gay rights demonstration in Warsaw in many years. Some 20,000 people came out in previous years. You know, gangs of fascist thugs plus the authorities, you know, stopped all that stuff, just as they did this past week in Moscow, where the authorities arrested 20 or 30 people and then
including,
they beat up.
Right said Fred. He was arrested.
He was.
I'm too sexy
for his shirt.
Yeah.
See, that's what you need, is more celebrities in Nigeria. If you know, I mean, if one of your pop singers or musicians got behind the gay rights cause, no problem.
It's they like, will. With
the
time,
overnight.
Well, even in the U.S., I think we read that all this started 50 years ago when the Stonewall Movement or thereabouts. So we know that with time we'll get to that place. But I want to add here that we need our brothers and sisters and friends in the U.S. To really shut Akinola down, because Akinola, all he's doing is to impress those who are sponsoring him from the U.S. And so if he has the strongest opposition from the U.S., he will definitely have a change or stop. He gave a release to the New York Press in one of the articles and said the time he knowingly shake the hands of a gay man, he just withdraw his hand. He flashed that to the New York Times and later flashed it to the Church of England newspaper. What was he doing? He was trying to impress his supporters in Virginia to tell them that he's doing what they want him to do well. And so the people Akinola is working to impress are in the U.S.
Okay.
And so it's also his downfall will come when people rise against him from the U.S. And that's where all this organization, brothers and sisters, need to join us to really shut Akinola down.
Well, I think he's fundamentally an opportunist. You look at the history of this man, Akinola. He is an opportunist. He tells lies about gays in Nigeria, including Davis and his organization, and people that are that kind of opportunistic, if there is sufficient pressure, they'll back down, because they'll go whichever way is eventually easier.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So what about other gay rights organizations in, say, countries that actually where gay people can actually get married, like South Africa? How are they participating in this?
We have links with some organizations in South Africa that are sort of we are trying to work on a peace awareness campaign. You know, we want to really teach our people, no matter the hate and the pressures and discrimination they face, they should not build hates. Because if hatred is building us the way the church and the government are attacking us, I mean, things will really go bad. And so we are in contact with our friends and brothers in South Africa and in some other parts of the world.
Well, and frankly, U.S. organizations need to speak up a lot more than they are. I mean, the national blinders that the Human Rights Campaign and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force have for just focusing on things American is nothing short of shameful, especially since the Nigerian government is such a big ally of the United States government. The United States gets so much oil from Nigeria. They could be saying, hello, we've got a lot of pressure we can put on things like Shell Oil, et cetera, to do much better by gay people in Nigeria by saying this kind of repression's got to stop. But
so for the people who are listening for the show, what's the first step that they can take in order to participate and help out our brothers and sisters in Nigeria?
One of the steps they could take is to begin sort of cooperate with Human Rights Watch and other organizations like the Gay Liberation Network that are fighting for human rights to begin to put pressure on the government of Nigeria and the Church of Nigeria Anglican Communion by writing petition through economic sanction. They can really also begin to help and put pressure on Nigeria, and also by financial assistance. There are many ways that
so people can they donate to your travel fund through the Gay Liberation Network website?
They can, yes.
So if you want to, GLN has a website, and we have a link to it on our website, feastoffools.net. You can donate through PayPal. Just make sure that it says, I want my money to go to Davis Makiyala's travel fund. Or you can send a check to 4404 North Magnolia, suite number 420. Ha ha ha. Yes, there, you heard right. 420 Chicago, Illinois 60640. And you also
just make the check. The check should be payable to the Chicago Anti-Bashing Network, our old name. We didn't get it switched over yet.
Oh my
yet.
God, and this is
yeah,
so
yeah, that's
confusing.
Right. That's so 1998. But
one name, one location.
Yeah, and just make sure that you designate that you want that those monies to go to Changing Attitude Nigeria. So we make
can
sure
they PayPal
Davis
money too?
Yeah, they're
we
gonna,
do
okay,
have
the
a
site.
PayPal on
so,
there. Yeah.
So okay. You're gonna help us link to that, right, Andy? After we're done with
yeah.
Okay.
So you can visit feastoffools.net and get the links.
Get the links. And so what's the next city you're gonna go to after Chicago?
I think I'll leave straight after Chicago to New York.
All right, New York City. And where are you going to be in New York City? What kind of appearances do you have for that?
My itinerary is very full because I have to appear in 20 cities with 52 events in the U.S.
Wow.
So, it's large.
How long will you be here in the States then?
I'll be in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. In the States, America.
Okay, I'll leave the U.S. on the 5th of July.
And guess where he's gonna be in late June?
I'm going straight to England because I have to attend the synod, the General Synod of the Church of England. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're gonna be in San Francisco, I guess, and in New York City, and in cities in at least in the United States that mythologically and sort of iconographically, you know, that they symbolize gay liberation, which is New York City in the 1969 for the Stonewall Rebellion, and of course San Francisco for very well known for its hippie movement and countercultural movement. Are there any sort of expectations that you have about going to these cities?
Well, I have heard so much about these cities, but one of the most important thing about my trip is from the 11th to the 14th of June, I am going to meet with the Executive Council of the Episcopal Church, where I'm going to address them and give them first-hand information of what is going on in the Church of Nigeria Anglican Communion and about human rights and the issue and the situation of LGBT people in Nigeria.
Well, if we can bring you over here, why won't we bring that guy over there?
Sure.
I mean, it seems like he would have an impact and have him actually meet with Bishop Peter Akinola.
Yes, I personally have met with Bishop Akinola
recently.
You heard
yourself in person?
Yes.
And what was that experience like? I mean,
before
if you wanted to shake your hand, I mean,
of course. I mean, it's a wonderful event because as Akinola continued to deny my existence, and then in February, where the whole primates of the Anglican Communion were to have their meeting in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, I went to Tanzania. And as God will have it, on the 14th of February, which is the World Valentine Day, mm-hmm. I met Peter Akiola and we shook hands together.
Oh,
and
you spent Valentine's
together.
Day together
of
with
course,
him?
Of course, yes.
Oh, so,
he spent Valentine with a gay Nigerian.
Well, he is wearing those long flowing robes.
Oh,
we
are yeah. the drag queen.
And what did your conversation take? I mean, what did you talk about?
First, I wanted to know if he will deny me. This is a man who in the Church of Nigerian website.
That's
not
the first
know me.
Question you asked him.
Yes, he shook my hand.
So it was
hands.
No small talk. You were like,
yes,
hey, it's a nice
I know
day,
it happened where you have his Bishop Means, Martin mm-hmm. Means was there, David Anderson was there, Mrs. Angela Means was there. There are other people, and so I shook his hands. I introduced myself, mm-hmm. and he remembered me. He never said, "Oh no, I don't know you."
I sleep with a picture of you next in my nightstand.
But what's the name of Akinola's hatchet man who really he was kept on having a go at you in the press? If you Google Akinola, there's he's
yes,
got
he's
a hatchet
spokesman.
Man that just has been really vicious.
Of course, these are the things they do to get themselves promotion. He is the communication officer for Archbishop Akinola. His name he was Canon Tunde Kpokpola, and now he has been promoted. Maybe because of a job well done to snare
yeah,
me.
And,
yeah, so he's now Venerable Tunde Kpokpola. I'm not surprised if tomorrow he will become one of the bishops in Nigeria.
Oh.
That's how you get and become rise in the ranks of religion is by bashing mm-hmm. the gays.
Of course, mm-hmm. yes.
Just like that's another export or import. Who came up with this first? Well, we're going to take some questions from our listeners through AOL Instant Messenger, Feast of Fools, mm-hmm. number 4, the letter U, or through Yahoo Messenger, Feast of Fools for you. And the first question comes from Alex McClure. And he says, just a note, as a gay Episcopalian, I am absolutely horrified by Nigerian Archbishop Akinola's support of anti-gay initiatives in your country. What an awful man.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Also, using our gay bishop, Robinson, as an excuse to come in and try to split our church is just unbelievable. I wish you the best in your struggle, Davis. Would love to know your thoughts on Akinola if you want to share them as a person. What is he, I mean, as an individual, what do you think about
what
that?
Is Akinola like as a person?
Well, Akinola's background, he was a carpenter and then who got into the ministry and now luckily find himself to become an archbishop. And so I think he's just looking for fame and power, you know.
And this one from Enzo. Hi, Davis. How does the AIDS epidemic affected gay rights and the advancement of gay rights in Nigeria?
Thank you. I have tried to have that chat even with Andy here. Gay people are dying of HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. We need to start an awareness campaign urgently. It's one of my agendas.
Mm-hmm. It's very yes. expensive to get condoms in Africa, but it should be noted that the main means of transmission in Africa, I don't know about Nigeria specifically, but the main means of AIDS, HIV transmission in Africa is heterosexual sex. Mm-hmm. And so the scapegoating of gays.
Yeah, they are the bridges, and mostly the MSM men who have sex with men. Of course, you know that most men, because of social acceptability, would want to have women, and then in their closet would also want to go out with their men. And so these men who have sex with men are the bridges that really are crossing this thing to
So you're saying that
community.
Bisexual men are the ones who are bringing HIV into
well,
the gay community?
They are brothers. I wouldn't accuse them, but in Nigeria, I think most people are trying to be bisexual just because of the social acceptability.
So like as a
yes.
society, you're sort of stuck in that adolescent phase of, you know, I'm bisexual.
You know?
I mean, there are really are legitimate bisexual people, but I think for a lot of gay people, we sort of say we're bisexual to ourselves as a way of sort of coming to terms with our own sexuality.
Well, you don't hear them even say they are bisexual mm-hmm. unless you know them and then you can tag them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they think that they are heterosexual because people know them with girls or with women.
So I wonder if it's like it can sort of gay and lesbian scholars in the United States examine how gay rights is emerging in Nigeria as a way of understanding the universality of the stories and the lessons presented here?
Of course, sure.
I mean, that sort of might be something interesting to research. Our academic listeners who are listening. Stephen in Alabama, do you feel like HIV epidemics has any effects that are positive in raising awareness of the gay rights movement in Africa.
Yes.
What are the positive effects of a sexually transmitted disease? Besides the fact that the negative is pretty obvious.
It's death and
but
dying.
What is the positive aspects?
The positive aspect will be if people really understand what this is all about. I will tell you that people do not really understand what we are talking about, HIV, and it's mostly in the gay community, LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And so the first step is to educate people. When you educate people and people trust you, then they could come out to take whatever the test that you call it, and to know. A lot of people don't even know their status, whether they are free or whether they are not.
Yeah, if it forces people to start talking about sex in a more honest way. I mean, as Davis is saying, people have sex all over the world, but you look at our own country where people are so uptight about sex, and AIDS, one of the few benefits was that people finally began talking a little bit more honestly about sex, and hopefully more understanding can come as a result.
And I guess, this is a question that's sort of been answered already, but I guess we can always discuss it again. Milt Dog writes, how can we here in the United States help make dangerous countries like Nigeria more safe for gay people?
As I said, you can join these NGOs that are fighting and working for human rights. There are so many of them that you can join. There are ways you can write petition through your congressman, to your congresswoman. Mm-hmm. There are many angles that you can join to partner with us to stand against this injustice.
Well, and Davis, you were telling me earlier that the International Lesbian and Gay Association, I know they've done great work in Eastern Europe, but I understand that they're doing good work in other places as well, and people can just Google them and get involved. I mean, they're always
what is
help.
That International Gay and Lesbian
IGLA.
I want to give the full name, and that's IGLA is International Lesbian and Gay Association. Mm-hmm. In fact, they brought us to the spotlight last year. They invited us to Geneva for their World Conference, and where we have opportunity to meet various international organizations. We are totally involved with ILGA. We are a full member of ILGA with voting rights. ILGA is doing a good job, and I will recommend that people get involved with ILGA.
Okay. Well, and we have listeners throughout the world, in the UK, Australia, Canada, and a lot of those are Church of England followers as well. Is there anything that they can do within their own church?
Yes. There are many groups on the 11th to 13th of May, we met the group leaders of Changing Attitude Nigeria, and their deputies met shortly before I came to the U.S. And Integrity USA supported us with money. And Changing Attitude England, which is also part of Church of England, has from the one been funding us. And so people in and out of the Anglican Church, one way or the other, have been very supportive.
Well, Davis Makiyala, we want to thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Thank you.
And we just want to salute you for your courage and for your hard work, and hopefully you're making the world better place for everybody.
So that's nice to be.
So we're going to do a breakdown 2007.
Do. 20 quick questions. Don't really think about it. Just answer it.
Just for you.
It's just for
Davis.
You.
Yeah, answer quickly. Your subconscious mind. Are you prepared?
Are you ready?
Now, you faced a lot of scary things before, but this might be just the scariest.
Okay. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite food?
Rice.
Okay. Describe yourself as a fancy shade of paint.
Wow. That's hard for me, but okay, go ahead.
What's kind of fancy shade of paint would you be?
I really cannot figure that out now, sorry.
You don't know? Okay. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I always want to be a star.
Wow.
A star.
Did you have a pet? Did you have a pet when you were a child, and what was its name and species?
I have a dog named Kodak.
Okay.
Okay, what's the biggest misconception people have about you?
Oh, they think that I am too direct and I am too vocal.
Okay. What's your best feature?
What's a physical feature of your body that you think looks good?
I'm charming. My face looks so...
Oh, it is charming. Smile. It's very true.
Now, what turns you on in another man?
Ooh.
Wow. Of course, he's looking at me.
No, I'm not turned on.
Thank heavens this is radio.
Yeah. There are so many, but your height matters a lot.
The height.
So you like tall men.
Like tall men.
Okay. Sure.
Do you like men taller than you are? Or
No.
You?
Just someone of my height.
Your height. That's that's important.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
If I can, I really would have... love to become a lesbian.
That's good. Okay. That's good. What's one of the best things that's happened to you recently?
Coming to America.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you recently?
By being stranded at New York airport for 3 hours without my contact and coming to get me.
Oh, shame on you, contacts. Leaving poor Davis alone in the airport.
What should we be investing in? Do you have any financial advice for our listeners?
And no spamming stuff here.
No Nigerian spams. No financial advice.
Shaking his head. No, but it's like, does it bother you sometimes that Nigeria has a reputation for like spam?
Well, that's a very bad reputation for Nigeria, but those spams are not totally coming from Nigeria. I have reason. I don't want to blame it on any other country, but I personally make research to find out that sometimes you have those spams coming from India and some other country that you don't expect, and all you hear is Nigeria.
Right.
Why is Nigeria such a magical word for spam?
I think we're like... giant in everything.
What would you like to see Oprah Winfrey, the American talk show host, doing in 5 years?
Well, I am really not an Oprah Winfrey show person.
Do you know who she is, first of all?
Yes. Everybody all over the world know who
Michael
she is.
Michael Jordan.
Okay. Yeah, people watch
her. What would you like to see her be doing in 5 years?
I think if she can join one of the street parades for LGBT people, that would be fine.
Okay, if you could travel back in time and meet anyone, who would it be?
I wish I could travel back and meet Peter Akinola.
Peter Akinola.
Mm. Yes, the Archbishop of Nigeria, to tell him.
When he was a young man.
Don't grow up to be a jerk. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would want to see him as a young man? Like at what age? 10, 14?
No. I'd want to see him between the age of 22 and 23.
Now, what makes you mad? What makes you really angry?
When people lie to me.
Okay.
If your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say? I think we need an international edition of this.
I would need an explanation for that.
If your vagina, we all have a vagina deep inside us.
Sure.
A cosmic goddess. Mm-hmm. If she could speak, what would she speak? What would she say?
She'll speak the Kalabari language. Come on in.
Come on in Kalabari.
What are you obsessed with?
Wait. I want to hear what come on in Kalabari sounds like.
Sobu.
Oh, Sobu. Isn't that, wait a minute. You just said
no. That's supe is for same-sex relations.
And
sobo means enter.
Sabu and then dandaudu.
Dandaudu in the north is a name for same-sex. That's Hausa language is for same-sex relationships.
You know that what's language sounds language? Very sort of very musical and has a nice.
What is
sound?
Your first language?
My language is Kalabari.
Okay.
Kalabari.
Okay. Yes.
And what are you obsessed with?
What are you fascinated with? We can't stop thinking about.
I'm always obsessed with fraud.
Frauds? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you play any musical instruments?
Well, I'm good in dancing than playing any other instrument. Yeah.
So do you know how to do the foxtrot or this like break dancing?
Yeah.
80s style, old school.
I can really swing, you know.
Oh, can you? Swing dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's for dinner? If we were at your house tonight, what would you feed us for dinner?
I'll give you rice with chicken stew.
That is good stuff.
What happens when we die?
When we die?
Mm-hmm.
When we die, we die. We just go to rest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Just a moment before you hang out.
No, we're not hanging up yet.
Okay. I think the American guys out there should feel free To talk to Davis Makiala.
Okay. That means you.
A Nigerian gay is not different. Well, single. A Nigerian gay is not single. It's not different from an American gay. So hit the button and I'll reply.
Well, and so and you'll have your itinerary. We can access your itinerary so people will know where to hunt you down in whatever city you're in.
Sure.
Where is that? Is that from the...
We will email that. You can get it right up on your webpage.
We'll put it up on right on the extended entries for the show notes. Mm-hmm. Now, you can send email directly to you to, you know, people want to cruise you. Mm-hmm. What's your email address?
Take it down. davis@nigeria.changingattitude.org.
O-R-G. That's right. Yeah. O-R-G.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, I don't remember this. Wait, let me write that. Do it slowly for me now.
Okay.
Yeah, take it down, Davis.
Davis. Not a capital letter, small letters.
Take it down, Davis.
No.
Davis@Nigeria.
Nigeria, uh-huh.
Dot. Changing attitudes.
Changing attitudes, uh-huh.
Dot org.
Org. Now, hold on a second. It's your username is take it down, Davis, or it's just Davis?
Just Davis.
Oh, take it down, meaning write it down.
Write it down.
Like, break it down, Davis.
Yeah.
So it's just davis@nigeria.changingattitudes.org.
Great.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Well, and that is all we have for the Feast of Fools today podcast today. We want to remind our listeners that if you want to support our show, you can do so on our website, feastoffools.net. Get a fabulous t-shirt or tell a friend about it.
Mm-hmm. Make a donation.
The music featured on today's program is Down in the City, is the song from Don Juan Dracula's album, Young Debutantes 2, available on our website, feastoffools.net. Remember that gay pride is a state of mind, and it can happen 365 days a year. Just be proud of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And we are joined by Andy Thayer. Say bye, Andy.
Bye-bye, Andy.
And Davis Makiyawa.
Hello there. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Would you like me to? I can't get it out of my head. Would you like me to? I can't.